Hello, everybody. This is Marshall Poe. I'm the founder and editor of the New Books Network. I've published several academic books, and one of the things I found frustrating is my inability to get them picked up in the press. There really is no PR service specifically oriented toward academic books. Recently, however, I had the opportunity to work with a PR firm in New York, RLM, on a book that I recently published. And I have to say, they did a remarkable job at a very low price. And this got me thinking, I wonder if the New Books Network and RLM could provide a service that would promote academic books. So the folks at RLM and I put our heads together and we came up with a package. It is specifically targeted toward people like you, people who write academic books. So if you're interested, you should go to the NBN website and click publish your book, and there you'll find some information about the services that the NBN and RLM are offering. What we really want to do is provide you with value for money. As far as we know, no such service exists. This is the first of its kind, and we really hope it is successful, and we hope that it helps you get the word out about your academic book.
Hi there, I'm Jason Schulman, and this is New Books in Australian and New Zealand Studies. My guest today is Nick Dyrenforth. He's the Executive Director of the John Curtin Research Center. He's here to talk about his new book, A Powerful Influence on Australian Affairs, A New History of the AWU, published in February 2017 by Melbourne University Publishing. Nick, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jason. Great to be here.
Well, it's great to have you. So Nick, what is the Australian Workers' Union?
The Australian Workers' Union is the oldest continuous trade union in Australia. It began as a union of shearers, so men, and they were all men who shore sheep for a living. It began in June 1886, so 131 years ago. It then became a general union, primarily based in rural and regional Australia, and has gained a reputation for being the largest so-called blue-collar union, a union which is quite unique in international terms in respect of its penetration, its coverage and density across the Australian continent. Representing shearers, rural workers who have been notably difficult to organise in other parts of the world, but the AWU was able to successfully unionise them. And also unique in terms of its political influence, its influence over Australia's centre-left or social democratic union-based party, the Australian Labor Party. And also, probably Australia's most famous union in sheer terms of its mythological importance. It's been there and been active in most of the big political and industrial debates, events and controversies that have taken place in Australia over the last 13 decades or so.
That's right. So the subtitle of the book is A New History of the AWU. What did you find was missing in kind of the history of the union that we needed a new history?
Yes, so it's the first general history of the AWU in over two decades. There have been another couple of histories of the union, both of which one was written by one of the co-founders, William Guthrie Spence, who's very prominent in the pages of my book, but that was published over a century ago. There's been some other fine titles. But the last history, One Big Union, by my friends Harry Knowles and Mark Hearn, as I mentioned, is now two decades out of date, and an enormous amount of change has happened both within the AWU and the political and industrial relations systems of Australia. As I detail in the book, the union came very close to collapse in the mid to late 1990s, which is you know, once thought of as unthinkable. This is a union which at one point covered over 200,000 members across Australia. But by the mid-90s, for various reasons, found itself in enormous financial trouble, had been marred by a number of controversies and a number of infamous cases of corruption. So I very much thought, and others thought, that an updated history of the union, taking its history up until the present date into the 21st century, was a really important task.
Did you have a personal connection to the union or to kind of center left politics in general? What drew you to the story of the AWU?
Yeah, so I've been a member of the Australian Labor Party for two decades now. I've been a branch secretary, have worked as a ministerial advisor and speech writer in government and in opposition to the current leader of the Labor Party, Bill Shorten, who, of course, was national secretary of the union between 2001 and 2007, and is generally regarded as one of the key individuals responsible for the resuscitation of the union after those dark days, which I alluded to before. And also as a scholar, as a PhD student who wrote a thesis on the early Labor Party and has written extensively on Labor and the trade union movement, it was impossible to ignore the AWU, and I'm a bit of a romantic, and it was very difficult not to be attracted to the colourful, sometimes turbulent history of this very old union.
Mm-hmm. One of the themes in your book is that the union is bigger than any one person. It's really survived because it's an institution. What drew you to kind of that conclusion? And you know, was it the archives? Was it speaking with people to do interviews? How did you kind of come upon that idea as one of the main ones in the book?
I think it was a combination of both. You know, I had almost unprecedented access to the union's internal documents, which is a tough task in itself, going through 130 years of very extensive archives. Also had access to an array of current and former leaders. Was lucky enough to be able to meet an enormous array of rank and filers and more humble organisers, which really did impart a sense that there was something about this union which meant that it really was a very Australian history. As I write in the book, it's very difficult to write the history of Australia without reference to this union. It really has been there through all the big pivotal moments in Australian history, from the great strikes of the 1890s, which eventually turned politics on its head, the turbulence on the home front during World War One, and the ultimately successful battle against military conscription, which was very much led by the AWU, to the events of the Great Depression, World War Two, the modernisation of the Australian economy during the 1980s, and political events throughout. This is a union which has thrown up many, which has produced many high-profile Labor politicians, including a number of prime ministers, and at a state or regional level, numerous premiers. And if you have a look at its history, there are a number of moments where another union, another Labor organisation, simply wouldn't have survived the events of the 1890s depression, which of course hit Australia, but also much of the world, and those tumultuous events which arose out of the merger of the AWU with the Federated Ironworkers Association during the 1990s. There was a sense that another union would have fallen over, but there's something about this union and its resilience which allowed it to survive those quite tumultuous events.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that the union's over 130 years old, certainly a lot of continuity, but also some changes, right? There have been mergers, acquisitions, differences between the state branches of the union. So in what sense has the union, been continuous for the 131 years, and in what sense has it had to adapt to changing situations?
Yeah, I think that word adapt is a very apt one in this context. I think the great strength of the AWU has been its ability to adapt to shifting industrial concerns and structures in Australia. Of course, it started off as a union of shearers and other rural workers. But as the Australian economy diversified, it was able to encompass a range of workers, notably sugar workers in Australia's north, in tropical Queensland. That was once a very, very important industrial concern, and it still is for the Queensland economy. And you can see at each stage of its history, it's been able to look to survey the shifting economic structure and change its activities henceforth. One of the striking characteristics of the union, born in Victoria, not far from where I grew up in Melbourne, but for most of the 20th century, its base was in Queensland, which is a highly decentralised and most people would argue very conservative state, but was really the power base of the AWU and its leadership. I think to come back to its distinctive nature, I think people sometimes forget just how diverse the coverage of this union is. There is the rural workforce. It's covered the full gamut of manufacturing, almost the entire mining industry. It covers nurses in Queensland, coffin makers, cigar makers, and I could go on and on and on and on. In the last two decades, what's notable and striking about the union's shifting concerns is the fact that this very masculine, very what we would call blokey union has brought in a large number of very talented women. At the recent national conference held in February, where we did launch the book, elected its first general or national president in its 131 year history. So it has been able to adapt and move with the times. That's not to say that there aren't significant challenges. In Australia, unionism certainly is in decline. It has been in decline for the best part of two decades. And the impact of the global financial crisis is still very much playing out in Australia, combined with growing automation, which has provided a significant challenge to the union's traditional coverage of industries such as manufacturing.
You write in the book that the AWU has endured triumph and tragedy because it is an Australian institution. And you mentioned earlier that it'd be almost impossible to write a history of Australia without talking about the unions. To what extent is the case that in 2017 you know, unions are a significant Australian institution?
Well, they still are. I mean, over a decade ago, it was really the union movement which was largely responsible for the defeat of a government led by John Howard from the conservative side of politics, a Liberal Prime Minister. And most people by that stage, Howard had governed for the best almost 12 years. They thought that it was simply an impossible task to defeat him. But on the back of a campaign against these industrial relations laws and one led by the AWU, he was defeated. I mentioned before that you know, unions and union density is in decline. But if you look at survey after survey, most people, whilst they may not join a union or are not in a position to join a union, still believe, this comes up in public survey after public survey, that unions are and can be a force for good. And I think there's a nice symmetry to the union story, and it may well play out in coming decades. When the union organised those shearers and essentially itinerant rural workers in its beginnings, you know, they were the old precariat, people employed on essentially casual and part-time work, piece rates. They were hard to organise. And if you have a look at the industrial scenery in 2017, we're seeing the re-emergence of those very kind, very similar work patterns, and many would argue exploitation with the rise of the gig economy, and again the return of large-scale casualisation of the workforce, the replacement of full-time secure jobs with insecure work, whether casual or part-time. As I said, huge challenges ahead of the union, but it does have deep roots in Australian society. There's a reason that this union has you know, once ran some of the most famous newspapers in Australia, featured the work of some of the nation's most famous poets, writers, cartoonists, I think it would take a very brave soul to predict this union's demise anytime soon.
Nick, I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. That's Nick Dyrenforth. His new book is A Powerful Influence on Australian Affairs.
You still with me, Jason?
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today, Nick. That's Nick Dyrenforth. His book is A Powerful Influence on Australian Affairs, A New History of the AWU, published in February 2017 by Melbourne University Publishing. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.